prophetic sermon off of several different words, okay? One, the Lord just put together for me this morning. Yesterday, when I left Charlotte, when I got on Interstate 85, just as I got on Interstate 85, it started raining really hard. I thought, man, that is heavy rain. And then I realized it wasn't heavy rain. It was just amazing, the largest hail I've ever seen in my life. Today, they had a storm there, and it was like, they said it was baseball-sized hail. This was like golf ball-sized hail to tennis ball-sized hail. And I kept waiting for my windshield to smash. And, of course, I'm on this interstate that's got three lanes on either side. It eventually comes to a halt, and I'm not under the underpass. So my car, if you look at my car, it's just dented all up. And that's the beginning of a journey to Selma that began at 4:30 in the afternoon after a week of ministering. But here's the word of the Lord for you from that thing. And there was a destination. It was where I was supposed to be, okay? And the enemy, and I had a hailstorm, and I thought I was going to get stopped by the hailstorm. And the hailstorm just stopped me briefly. It just sort of slowed me down. But I ended up getting home. And people keep asking me, well, you have insurance, they'll cover it. So if that's true, when it's all said and done, it's going to cost the insurance company a lot of money. But my car looked better than it did before I got in the hailstorm. And I ended up arriving where I was supposed to arrive. Here's the deal. Some of you, some of us, are experiencing hell storms. H-E-L-L. And it's the enemy trying to keep you from getting where God's called you to be and the purposes of God. But you need to know that he's not going to stop you from getting there. It's just what he does. He just throws everything at you. And though in the hell storm there's some damage, you have absolute insurance from God that not only will you get to where you're supposed to be, but when it's done, you'll be better off than you were before you started. Okay? So you got that? It's really important. Because if you're going through a hell storm, understand what this is about. And that you're going to get where God's called you to be. He's going to keep his promises. You're going to get there. You may be a little damaged when you get there, but when it's all done, God's insurance is that you're going to be better off and you're going to look better and be better than you were. Amen? A couple of things. This one briefly, I'll talk to you about it more next week probably. Week ago Tuesday, the day before I went to Fairhope, I think it was on Tuesday, Margaret, or Monday, I shared a word about Oklahoma and just said briefly, look for Oklahoma to be in the news. I think God's going to do something because Oklahoma is the state of the Sooners. Because God wants to do things sooner than later. And so Margaret and I especially were watching the news. And then Wednesday as I was driving up to Flat Rock, a lot of times I listen to sports because it keeps me awake. But every once in a while I'll turn over the news and Fox News and listen to it. But I don't do that very often because I get bored because they say the same things over and over again. You know, that the Muslims and the Democrats are going to destroy the country. So after a while, you get tired hearing the same. Just which Muslim and which Democrat's going to do it. And so driving up, I turned it on briefly, and Bill Hemmer, is that his name, Hemmer? He just makes this news report about wildfires in Oklahoma and how they're having a hard time containing them. Now, since that time, I've been able to find a lot on Fox News online and other, but I haven't heard it. Maybe he hasn't heard it on the television. It's kind of like the Star of David, you know. We think it's just this brief little moment. If you're not listening for it, you won't get it. But there they were. And I listened to the television station I get on my XM. It was on national television. And that's as I'm driving up there. And also as I'm driving up there and it happens, a truck comes by. You know, the trucks, all those big old trucks. So I have the number 53 is how many feet the truck is, the bed of the truck. But, you know, you just don't ever pay attention to that. And one passes by, and the number 53 is written in really large numbers, and God just spoke really, said this is an important number for the retreat and beyond the retreat. So as I got to the retreat center, the Lord began to put the parts of the puzzles. I went and started reading about this thing in Oklahoma, which is still going on, by the way. And also, the cool thing, too, I didn't discover this until yesterday morning, I think, is that the governor issued the first state of emergency for Oklahoma on the issue about wildfires. So it just finally got big enough where it was on the news. but she issued her first declaration of a state of emergency on 3/11/11. And so here's what the Lord was saying to me, and this is why we talked about the clergy retreat. We prayed about it. We already had set the clergy retreat aside where there was no real formal teaching. It was all about us just praying and asking God for Him to pour out His Holy Spirit, for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire for us and for the whole diocese of the Carolinas. And that's all we did for 2 days, and was do that and minister to each other. But when I saw that, it was remarkable to me because you remember the 3/11 prophetic word involved two 3/11s. One's Ruth 3:11, ask anything you want and I'll do it for you. If you have the heart of Ruth, you're at the threshing floor before, at the feet of Boaz. But the second one was Matthew 3:11. I'm going fast because I've already said all this and I don't take all the time. The Matthew 3:11 is I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that in this season, 3:11 season, if with repentant hearts and renewed, surrendered hearts you lay at the feet of Boaz at the threshing floor, He will say to you, whatever you ask Me, I'll do for you. Just like John 15, if My words abide, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask anything in My name and I'll give it to you. See, because when you have a surrendered, repentant heart, His words just fill your heart. Because He's now speaking and you're listening. That's really what that scripture is talking about. It was written to a lot of people who didn't have Bibles, so it wasn't just written about memorizing scripture. You do understand that. And particularly God is saying what's on the top of His list to do for you is a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And so for this thing of Oklahoma sooner and to be about wildfires really got my attention and blew me away. And because what the Lord began to say is, you know, wildfires are of God. Wildfires are part of the regeneration of nature. Wildfires redeem soil. Wildfire creates nutrients that go in the soil. That's why people used to burn their yards all the time. Remember they would burn their yards in the winter so that the grass would come back better? Because it just creates nutrients in the yard. But wildfires are a hazard to man because it destroys man-made structures. And that's why men want to keep wildfires from happening. And in this thing that God's doing, what God wants to do is to light a wildfire in the hearts of His people. And the wildfire in the hearts of His churches. And the wildfire in the hearts of the body of Christ. He wants wildfire. Fires that are out of man's control. You with me? Fires that will destroy the things that men build and men have built. Fire that destroys the things of the flesh. Let's take it down to personal life, our own personal experience. Alrighty? That's what God's doing. And one of the other stories of it is that when they thought they were getting the fires under control, it says they were all searching for hot spots, places where there was still like a simmering embers that if the wind picks up, they'll flame up again. And what the Lord said to me was, you pray that your heart is a hot spot. And get so this is a word for you, and this is a new word for me, and this is a word for you, is you ask God to make your heart a hot spot. So that every time the wind of the Spirit blows, your heart just sets on fire. This congregation will be a hot spot. So we pray that for our diocese. And the Lord has spoken that word about 53, and I didn't say anything about it because I wasn't sure what it was about yet. And the next morning, one of the clergy, the one whose braces that I have, who was healed a couple of months ago, he said, you know, man, I was just praying this morning. God began to speak the number 53 to me. So I'm like going, cool. And he says, and he really put this word together. He says, Psalm 50, verse 3. And he said, this is what it was. He wasn't even thinking about the... I hadn't told the stories about the wildfire yet. Gather my godly ones to me and those who have a covenant with me by sacrifice. I mean, may our God come and not keep silent. Fire devours before Him and is very tempestuous around Him. Isn't that an amazing coincidence? So it was this awesome retreat. As we're leaving retreat and I go to Asheville, I start getting these phone calls from clergy who get back on I-26. You have to get off I-26 to get to where we were. And we're leaving this message, I'm thinking, guys, I can't even, I've just spent 2 days with you. I can't talk. So later I went back and listened to the voicemail. They're all freaking out because the exit off of 26 to get to the retreat center was exit 53. So this 53 is a word for you too. So my prayer for you is this, is that you will ask the Lord to make your heart a hot spot. So that all the wind, all the Holy Spirit has to do is just gently blow and it'll flame up. So that your heart is a place where wildfires happen. You hear me? This is a day, baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Whenever the Lord connects dots like that, it's an amazing thing, remarkable thing when God does that kind of stuff. Okay? Now, here's a little short devotional sermon. But I wanted to share that part with you. For about 2 or 3 weeks now, I constantly see this image of Jesus dancing in the Olympics, doing rhythmic dancing. Remember, you ever seen rhythmic dancing? They usually have those long streamers, whatever, and they dance, and they use props, and sometimes they'll use like beach balls and stuff. It's called rhythmic dancing. And what I saw was Jesus doing rhythmic dancing. And so I've just been pondering that a lot, and I've been on the go so much that sometimes if I'm seeing things, I need to stop for a while and just like, Lord, explain this to me. But he knew my schedule, and then what I kept hearing the Lord say is that Jesus is bringing things into rhythm. Jesus is bringing things into rhythm, and Jesus dances to a rhythm. And while I was on this retreat with these guys from the Carolinas, what I began to realize is that he was saying to us, and I was saying to them, is that Jesus wants you and I to find our rhythm so that we can dance with him. Because Jesus dances to rhythm. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. This is the sermon part of it. The scripture it reminded me a lot of is from Galatians chapter 6. And this is beginning in verse 6. Galatians 6, 6. And let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he also will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall reap from the flesh corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit shall reap from the Spirit eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. And this principle of sowing and reaping, and what I saw was the way the Lord began to explain this thing to me, this what I was seeing was, I was pondering about telling the story again at the clergy retreat, just kind of with stuff that's been happening in our noon Eucharist for about 8 months now or longer since September. And the Lord just stopped me and said, Chuck, you've never even thanked me. Well, I said, well, I have thanked you a lot. I've been really grateful. He says, no, last year, Livy remembers, before she went into the hospital and it carried on a little bit after she went to the hospital, or just right when in the hospital, I had a 54-day period where I did intensive, intentional prayer specifically about some specific things. It was a real discipline for 54 days. And one of those specific things I was praying for was that, Lord, we've been talking about Eucharist for years now. And people tell me they get it, but they don't act like they get it. And we don't see the manifestations that I've been telling everybody that we should see. That if you really show up in a profound, unusual way, it's hard to explain, impossible to explain, in Eucharist. If your presence is there in some remarkable way, we should see manifestations of that. Because anytime your presence showed up in the pages of Scripture, things happen, signs and wonders happen. So Lord, help us, all of us, while we've been talking about Eucharist, we've been saying these things about Eucharist, and we've been saying that if you discern correctly, if you receive in a worthy manner, there won't be as many sick, there won't be as many weak, even some will avoid premature deaths. So Lord, help us, show us, do some stuff, manifest your power, because that's the best theology of all. That'll help us cross over and go, oh, okay, we need to see it. And for 54 days, I sowed that. Do you understand? It's like sowing. I was praying. There was a rhythm, and I was sowing it. And ended it like in June. Well, about 2.5 months. So, you know, when you sow things, you don't always see them. It takes a little while for them to prop up. I mean, you don't sow seed in the ground the next day. You know, you don't sow seed in the ground and get a lounge chair and sit out overnight and go, okay, okay. And then after the next day, get discouraged because you don't see anything coming up out of the ground. You reap, but it takes a little while for what you've sown to come up, right? Isn't that a principle in Scripture? Isn't that one of the great principles of the kingdom of God? Isn't the parable that every other parable hinges on about that? sowing the word and coming up. He said, the kingdom of God is like that. Man who goes out and sows seed. And so like a few months later, the Lord said, and then you sowed that seed. And then just a few months later, you reaped a harvest. And you've not thanked me for responding to that season of sowing. And you didn't get what I was trying to teach you. I thought, oh man, I'm thicker than a brick wall. And I'm so sorry. And then he said, that's what I've been trying to show you with this vision. Jesus does things in rhythm. And if you'll find your rhythm, you'll dance with Him. Now here's what Christ is trying to say to us. Is that what if I just kept on sowing seed? He said, because right now you're enjoying celebrating the harvest of my activity and the harvest of my glory. But what if that with that intense intention, you had kept sowing different seed? He said, you wouldn't just be celebrating a harvest. You'd be celebrating harvest after harvest after harvest after harvest. It'd be harvest on top of harvest. He said, but what happens if you stop sowing seed and eventually the harvest will die out? It takes a while for that to happen. But if you want to have multiple harvests, one on top of the other, where you're constantly celebrating a new harvest of the glory and the activity of God, you've got to keep sowing seed. Now, do you understand what I mean by sowing seed in this context? About your own prayer life. Sowing seed in the soil of the Spirit, your own asking God. The song we sang about His presence, you know, about crying out. How's that little chorus thing go? Yeah, if you want it, come get it for crying out loud. It's because you cry out loud. You know, and we live in the soil is riper than it's ever been. It's a 311 season. God said, if you'll sow the seed, He said, I'll give you anything you ask me for. I've never, about, as you know, 7.5 years ago, I went to a conference asking the Lord to do some little bitty thing. And not only did not do what I asked Him to do, He did something totally huge that I wasn't, I guess I was prepared for. He wouldn't have done it, but I didn't think I was prepared for it, about prophetic things. And after a season, I quit sowing seed because it just was hard. You with me? And so the harvest lasted for a while, then it's sort of died out. And people would say, well, basically were saying to me, Bishop, sow that seed again, all over the country. And so recently, in the last year, I began to sow a little bit of seed, but more intensely lately. And I'm telling you, this is the biggest harvest I've ever known, personally, seeing God do stuff. It's just amazing. And what God is doing right now. And this is not for me, this is for all of us. But what the Lord said to me, and I said to those guys, I said, guys, I don't know what your rhythm looks like. But find your rhythm. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I don't know what your knocking on the door of God's heart looks like. We all have different schedules. And you all have different demands on your life. Your rhythm's not going to look like my rhythm. I'm paid to have a rhythm. You with me? That's my job. Isn't that awful? What a horrible job to have. We pay you to seek Jesus and talk to people about Jesus. You know, it's like dying. It's like passing out and waking up in a 1,000-mile jelly roll. And you have a job to eat your way out of it or you're going to die. That's like what's being called in the ministry. So your rhythm may not look like my rhythm. The value that's always been and that Shelby and I were even talking about the other day, the value of liturgical things, liturgical prayer life, is, and the reason God did that with His people a long time ago, because He created a rhythm for them. Now, in that rhythm, find your own rhythm. But should never think of liturgical prayer as a religious thing, unless you think God has a religious spirit, because He's the one who thought it up. But it creates a rhythm for the people of God. Now, you can be as spontaneous as you want to be. I'm just saying that's one of those ways you can find a rhythm. But what is your rhythm? Is your rhythm, well, Bishop, I only have 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here. Well, then consistently sow seed. Consistently find your rhythm. Do it consistently, because what I'm trying to tell you, if you'll keep sowing seed, if you'll keep seeking God's heart, if you'll keep crying out for stuff, if you'll keep contending for the promises He's given you, that's sowing seed, that's your rhythm. If you keep seeking Him, if you keep crying out to Him, and just keep sowing the seed, keep sowing the seed, keep sowing the seed, keep sowing the seed, well, after a little while of sowing the seed, some of those first seeds you sow will come up. You'll start celebrating the activity of God, the harvest of the activity of God. You with me? But you just keep sowing seed. You don't stop and celebrate. Oh, man, that's so awesome. I don't have to sow seed. No, keep sowing seed, because then in a little bit you're going to go, oh, my God, there's another harvest coming up of the activity of God in a different way. And, oh, my goodness, there's another harvest coming up. See, we think in the natural that harvests are about one time a year. You get a harvest. But the Lord's saying in the Spirit, He wants us to have multiple harvests that are continual of the glory and the activity of God. Am I making sense what I'm saying to you? We shouldn't just look back and go, man, that was a cool season. God's an out-of-season person. He's not just governed by seasons. And we shouldn't just look back and go, man, remember those times? We should be living in a constant harvest of the activity of God propping up. But it's because we don't grow weary in our well-doing, in our sowing. We'll reap what we sow. And the principle is the more you reap, the more you sow, the more you reap. And if we'll keep sowing, we'll keep reaping new harvests of the activity of God. And it just blew me up my head. I saw that. I thought, that is so true. You know? So I find myself celebrating the harvest, the activity of God in our Eucharist. Now I find myself celebrating another harvest that's popping up. And I'm having a hard time keeping up with the harvest. Because I decided that I wasn't going to let the enemy distract me from sowing. Just a couple other verses. 2 Corinthians. I mean, let me look at Proverbs first. Proverbs 13. And see, for you, your rhythm may be fasting something every day, all your life, or several hours in prayer, or your rhythm may literally be 4 5-minute moments, or 2, 4, you know, until God changes. But the point is, ask the Lord, what's your rhythm? Because if we're going to dance with Jesus, He dances a rhythmic dance. We've got to find our rhythm so that we can dance with Him. And you find your rhythm. And don't feel guilty that your rhythm doesn't look like somebody else's rhythm. But every one of you have a rhythm. And find out what it is. Every one of you are to sow with a rhythm. And find out what that sowing rhythm is. It says in Proverbs 13, verse 5, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. The soul. See, because it's not just a harvest of the activity of God, it's a harvest of the activity and glory of God in your own personal life. Now, the sluggard craves a harvest, but won't find a rhythm, or just sow seed every now and then in the crisis, when it's an emergency, when everything's falling apart. Oh, my God, I'm going to start sowing seed. And I'm going to start crying out to God, seeking God, praying. And then when the crisis lifts, you stop. And then a couple months later, you go, man, there's some cool stuff happening. You know why it's happening? Because you sowed seed. And then eventually comes up a harvest, the activity of God. But you quit sowing seed because you're not in a crisis. And have you noticed after a few months, the harvest kind of goes away and it's not near as exciting as it used to be? Man, I remember a few months ago my sparker was lit. What happened? Well, you see, you sowed some seed. It didn't take much. And sowing seed, it had not taken much. You had a harvest. But then you so celebrated the harvest, you quit sowing seed. And now all of a sudden the harvest is dying out. And you know what happened? I'll tell you what happens. You quit sowing. Find a rhythm and stick with it. Live your life so the harvest is chasing you. You can't move fast enough because the harvest keeps propping up behind you as you move along. Craving isn't enough. The soul of the sluggard craves, gets nothing. but it's the soul of the diligent that's made fat. Isn't that interesting that the difference between craving and getting is a simple word, diligence? And diligence, you ever thought what the word diligent means? It just means consistently go after it. The person who's diligent is just, they're thorough and they're consistent. They may not be the most talented. They may not be the most gifted, but they are thorough and they are consistent. And that's the sower that gets multiple harvest. You with me? So, that's my prophetic sermon for you. And three simple things. One, if you're going through a hailstorm, it's going to be okay. And you may come out with dents, but you'll get where you're going. It's just the enemy trying to scare you. And when you get where you're going, God's given you, He's absolutely insured the fact that not only will you get where you're going, but when it's all said and done, you'll be better than you were before you started. Secondly, ask God to make your heart a hot spot. Ask God to build a wildfire in your heart. And then the third thing, find your rhythm. I want multiple harvests, don't you? I want the harvest to chase me. Because there's one crop after another, after another, after another, after another. You know, I thought about that, Bill. I was thinking about André Bazette. Because somebody was asking about André Bazette because he was a monk. And they said, this priest was saying, well, I'm trying to figure out how I can do André Bazette's life. I said, you can't do André Bazette's life. You're married. Yeah, I have a job. And he said, but God wants you to adopt André Bazette's attitude. And if you look at André Bazette's life, one of the reasons he kept reaping harvest of the activity of God is because he sowed consistently every day. He had a rhythm. Find your rhythm. It'll fit your life. And I promise you, if you'll find your rhythm, you will reap a harvest of the activity of God and the glory of God. And you won't spend the rest of your life craving. You'll spend the rest of your life reaping, which is a lot more fun than craving. Amen. Amen.